This is Marina Rav Shlita. We wish L'chaim Aruchim to Paul Preston and Rav Taubman on their respective yacht sites. We also wish a hearty Mazel Tov to Howard Cohen, who I understand has a very busy day today in marrying off his daughter Tova Rachel. Mazel Tov. And I'm very glad to see Michael Israel back to full strength. Refuah Shleima to you, Michael. Last time we spoke about chumras and kulas, and we asked the question, why is it that sometimes a person is praised for being machmir, for being strict, but at other times people are criticized, they are called either a hediot, an idiot, or a chote, or a sinner, and we're trying to understand the balance between them. And we said that you may not practice a stringency if it is at the expense of another mitzvah, such as if you are sitting in a rainy sukkah, you can't make your family wait till midnight, you will eat. You don't keep your guests hungry, you don't prevent yourself from Simchas Yom Tov. We said you don't practice a chumrah at the expense of another person. There's an interesting story in the Gemara in Brachas Chof Zayin about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. We know from the Haggadah he was only 18 years old. And he was asked to take over the chief rabbinate, and he said to them, first, before I give you an answer, I have to ask my wife. Because he knew that once he's in that communal position, his wife will have to be busy, entertaining, and being in the role of rebbetzin, and that would be at her expense, so he's got to ask her for her permission. And then the third idea we said is you don't practice a chumrah which people can't afford. It was going to create undue expense. We also said you can't confuse a chumrah and a din. We spoke about Chava and the forbidden fruit, how she had added a chumrah. She said, God said, I may not touch the tree. And as a result of that, she did the Aveira. So we must not confuse chumrah and din. Just as a preamble to speak about how absurd sometimes a person's stringency might be at the expense of another mitzvah, the most ridiculous example I think I've come across is a Gemara in Yuma, Chof Gimel, Omad Aleph, which talks about the Kohanim who would race up the ramp. This was in order to do some temple service of clearing ashes. And there are two Kohanim who were neck and neck in the race. So one actually stabbed the other with a knife into his heart because he wanted to make sure that he did that piece of temple service to stop the other person. And the most ridiculous thing about the story is when they were realizing that the victim was not yet dead, he was in convulsions, so they were saying, oh, well, it's the knife which was used has not become Tomei Mace because the person hasn't actually dead yet. And the priority there was to make sure that the knife would not become Tomei rather than worry about the bloodshed that was taking place. Perhaps this is the most absurd example of someone wanting to be Machmir. So the next principle we're going to come to in this series is when you are interested in practicing a chumrah, you think, well, life is mundane, I'm doing my mitzvahs, and I want to do more to reach the Vegas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That intent may be very praiseworthy. However, if it doesn't suit the sort of level that you're at, it might have your downfall. And so therefore, you have to know yourself. You have to know your own panemius and where you are in matters. And Rav Sternbuch writes about this in his Tanva Das Al HaTorah. He says you have to know your capabilities and not stretch yourself unreasonably. And there's an Or HaChaim HaKadosh on Parshas B'Chukosai who discusses this idea where he quotes Pekei Avos, where Hillel says, V'lo Amo Oretz Chosid. There in Perek Beis Mishnah Vov, it says, an Amoretz cannot be a Chosid. Now, the word Chosid has been hijacked for the last couple of hundred years. It doesn't really mean somebody who wears a black hat and a black coat with long side curls. A Chosid is somebody who's extremely pious and kind and stringent. And so an Amoretz can't be a Chosid. What does that mean? He says, She'osu la Amoretz l'isnaig b'chassidus. Sheyaseh chumros agadarim. An Amoritz, an ignoramus, should not take on himself chumros k'minag achasidim. Why? Because there will be occasions where he will do a chumrah, and as a result of him doing his chumrah and not knowing the halachas properly, he will be doing averus. He will be transgressing. An example which is given is a person who is makbid to visit his wife every Friday night. People will understand what I mean. And he will end up doing the same thing on Yom Kippur, when such a thing is forbidden. And he quotes, Im b'chukho saite lechu, v'es misvo saite shmoru. He quotes it from the Pasuk. If you are going in my chukosai, then, namely, you're not an amoret, you are involved in Torah, then you can do this tishmoru, tasa lachem mishmeret, kedei lakaim im gedorim. Then you can actually practice chumras in order to protect the Torah which I'm giving you. So Rav Shlomuch quotes a Gemara in Gemara Chulin, Kufhei, on the story of Mar Ukva. And Mar Ukva says that his father waited before having milk after meat. He waited a period of 24 hours. Can you imagine? Enough to become a vegetarian. That if you are unable to have your milk and meat for 24, milk and yogurt after having meat 24 hours ago. And so he says, I don't keep to this chumrah. I don't do what my father did. There is a perush which says that his father took on himself this chumrah because he once slipped up in having milk straight after meat. And so he took upon himself his personal chumrah not to have milk for 24 hours. So he said, I'm like vinegar compared to my father who is like wine. So the obvious question is, why didn't Marukva take on the same stringency that his father did? If it was something which was so special and important, he says, I wait till the next meal. And that's where the whole issue comes from, is how long does one wait? Is it 3 hours? Is it 6 hours? Is it 5 hours and a bit? Is it 1 hour? And there are different views about this, because it comes from the principle of waiting from one meal to the next. Rav Ordman of Eitz Chaim, the friend of Racha, once said that the reason why the German minhag became 3 hours is because in the Western world we eat every 3 hours. You have breakfast at 8 o'clock, you have your tea time with cake at 11 o'clock, lunchtime at 1 or 2 o'clock, tea time at 4 o'clock, etc. That's how the three-hour custom came about. But we won't go into the details of that now. It was just the principle. Why didn't he follow his father's custom? And he felt it just wasn't him. It wasn't himself. He felt like you don't run. He said, you don't run before you can walk. Rabbi Shlomo Salanter said, he didn't feel on the right level to take upon himself these extra chumras. I personally have seen somebody who took upon himself Yiddishkeit, who was a Ger Tzedek. He came from a Muslim background, and he took upon himself amazing things, and he went to yeshiva, and he took upon himself big chumras. And sadly, I've been told he's now back with his non-Jewish parents. And things have taken a slide. A person has to know his limits, use his common sense. If a person's speaking Lashon Hara all day long, he should not be doing Tikkun Chatzos at midnight. He should be working on his Lashon Hara and correcting that before he takes upon himself these sorts of chumras. So Rav Taragin writes that it's not that you're mechuyev to wear a talis cotton beged which is made of wool, and that would make you a Yiras Shemayim. It doesn't work that way around. It's the other way around. If you want to practice this chumrah of having a beged made out of wool, you don't have to. The Chazon Ish and the Gra said they're not makbid on wearing a beged which is made out of wool. But some people are makbid to wear a beged made out of wool. So he said, it's not that the beged makes you Yiras Shemayim. It's when you're a Yiras Shemayim when you'll take on these sorts of chumras. And a person has to know himself if he's got certain habits or addictions where he's got to know his limits, and then he will know what safeguards to make upon himself not to trigger himself into his weaknesses. For example, the Shem Shmuel talks about the gambler, compulsive gambler. He says he should not even go near a casino, so that he won't be triggered off in order to do any averus and or practice his gambling. So each person might be different to another. And a person has to realize when he takes upon himself a chumrah, it's a neder, it's a vow. And will he be able to stick to it? A common example of that is when one goes to a shiva and they ask you to learn Mishnayos, and you scribble your name on a sheet and you promise to learn Mishnayos by a shloshim or by a yahrzeit. You know, you've got to understand, you're taking upon yourself a neder. Are you able to do it, or are you just going to forget about it? I know somebody who once took upon himself a tanis dibur. That means he won't talk anything except Torah for 3 days. And he was learning in yeshiva, and somebody came up to him and said, your mother's on the phone, she urgently has to speak to you. He couldn't come to the phone because he took upon himself this tanis dibur. So for goodness sake, put it in perspective, and don't take upon yourself these sorts of chumras. And if a bocha does want to spend his whole bein hazmanim, his holiday period, learning Torah, fine. But don't neglect the fact that you're living with your parents and you should help a bit, empty the dustbin, do the washing up, and help your parents. Somebody once asked my great uncle, Dayan Posen, Zichrono Livracha, why he doesn't wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. Some people have the custom to put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin where the parshas are written in a different order. They all agree that Rashi is the correct kind of tefillin, but as a chumrah they have this other version of tefillin. So Dayan Posen was asked, why don't you wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin? It surely says about Rabbeinu Tam that people who are muchzak b'chassidus, people who are very righteous, put on these tefillin. So you are muchzak b'chassidus. They said, thank you very much. That's all I need to hear when I go up to Shemayim after 120 years. If I'm accused of being muchzak b'chassidus, thank you very much, then I won't have such problems. So that is another principle in the idea of keeping chumras. Yes, it's very nice, but know your own personality, know your own limitations, don't overstep the mark, because if you do, you might end up doing something wrong. Another major principle on chumras and kulas is that you have to be very careful that you don't let others perceive you like being a show-off. So there are two ideas here. Number one, you shouldn't become gaivadik. You should not become big-headed. Oh, I put a mezuzah on my car. Other people don't do it, but I'm machmir. You know, that is osur. You're not allowed to do such a thing. So there is one aspect there, that you mustn't become gaivadik. And number two, that even if you sincerely believe that what you're doing is okay, and you believe it won't make you haughty and proud, nevertheless, other people will perceive you as looking like a show-off, then you mustn't do that either. I remember when I was buying an esrog just before Sukkot this year, and there was a fellow there who was looking at a very nice esrog, and he asked me what I thought, and I said, it's beautiful, it's really nice. He says, yeah, but it doesn't cost as much as some of the others. And, you know, people will ask me in shul, how much did you spend on your esrog? He was worried about what people would worry about in shul and what you pay for his esrog. So I said to him, you know, what if you only shake your esrog at home and you eat your morrow in shul? Would your spending habits change? You know, for goodness sake, you know, the rest of the money which you would have spent on the esrog, you can give to tzedakah. You don't have to pay the top whack price. So showing off is not simply just an idea of driving your Ferrari to shul. It's when your chumrah you feel is l'shem shemayim, where you feel that what you're doing is worthy, but nevertheless, you shouldn't do it because people will perceive you as being a show-off. Now, don't get me wrong. If you sincerely do what you believe is right, then you shouldn't worry if people laugh at you. The Shulchan Aruch at the very beginning of Aruch Chaim says, "Leisbeish b'fnei odom u'maligim olav." Don't care if people are going to laugh at you. But again, there's this idea of balance, azus. You mustn't be big-headed, says the Mishnah Berurah. And you mustn't use your divine service to make yourself look important. Hatznei lechesim Hashem elokecho. You should walk with Hashem in a modest fashion. And the Mesirat Yesharim writes about this. And in Perek Beis he says, "V'kama chassidim gedolim hinichu meharbe chassidus." That many chassidim being people who are pious, have refrained from taking upon themselves aspects of what's called chassidus and chumras. Why? Because michzik yara, because they will look like show-offs. And so when they're amongst others, they will behave more like everybody else. Be one of the lads. And when they're at home in private, then they might practice such chumras. And if a person feels good from doing something important, then that can be harmful to his neshama. There's the story of Hillel of Pesach. He was giving a drosha on near Harbayis, and it was about Erev Pesach falling on Shabbos. They were worried. This is in the sixth parak of Gemara Pesachim, Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph. People were forgetting what the din was, so he was giving them a reminder as to what the dinim were, and he felt so good about it that afterwards he made himself forget certain halachas, because it says, "Im chocham hu, chocham istalekes." If a person's feeling suddenly very proud and gaivadik, the same applies to a novi, then that pride will make them lose something. And the same is written about the prophetess Devorah. There'd be no one else before her like her, and she felt that she had achieved so much. And Rashi says she was showing off, she was glorifying herself, so her nevuah departed from her. And hence the words, Uri, Uri, Devorah, wake up, Devorah. She had to be aroused because she had lost some of her nevuah from her pride. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, he became angry, he lost some of his nevuah. And in the Ovis Rabbi Nosson, it talks about Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yishmael, who were being put to death by the Romans in a most tragic way. And one after the other, did I do something wrong? Did I break Shabbos? You know, we thought that we're so meductic in our mitzvahs. And then he recollected, I dashened, and I got a big praise for this drosha that I gave. So don't give me any praise, please, when I give a shiur. And I felt, he says, I felt from it so elated, and Gaiva came into me. Maybe that's why we're now being put to death. So there are many instances in halacha about where you have to be careful not to do certain things because you will be perceived like a show-off, even though you feel, oh, this is a chumrah that I want to do. And there are a number of classic examples like this, and we'll just go through a few of those. In Aruch Chaim Siman Kuf Yud Gimel, it talks about a person who says, I won't bow down four times in my Shemoneh Esrei, I'll bow down for every bracha because I feel it's better. That is a chumrah which should not take place. Why? Because a person is making himself look more prominent than other people. Or in Siman Kuf Kaf Gimel, which is Kotin Yudzayin, it's talking there in Mishneh Berurah about a person who takes more than three steps back at the end of his Shemoneh Esrei. He looks like somebody who's being more machmir. Some people who like to sing with a chazan very loudly, raising their voice amongst everybody else's voice, is criticized in Siman Kuf Kaf Dalet. Oh dear, I'm looking at interesting body language around this room. Siman Kuf Kaf Dalet Sifta Zayin. It's a practice which is deplored because a person might look like a show-off. If a person wants to daven and stand right next to the rov because it makes himself look very important. Look, if it's his fixed place and he's had this place a long time, okay, it's all right, says the Mishpura and Sifkotnai rov. But when a person stands so close to the rov, he should realize he should not be perceived like people are equating him with the rov. Talks about someone who wraps a talis around the Sefer Torah when he does Hagba. It's a chumrah and it's an unnecessary one. The talis says, all right, if you have this practice to put two holes at the corner of your tzitzis rather than one hole, in Siman Yud Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch thinks it's a bit of an unnecessary chumrah, but the Ari and the talis say it's okay. And obviously, if something's a halacha, even if it looks like showing off, then one should not refrain from doing so. And an example of that is if one davened Maariv before nightfall, then one should say Maariv again after nightfall to make sure that one has complied with the halacha of Veshoch B'chol Kamecha. Sorry, the Shema. Sorry, not the Maariv, the Shema. There is a minag not to work on Tisha B'Av. So it says a Talmid Chochom does not work on Tisha B'Av. So what if a person says, I will behave like a Talmid Chochom, I will not work on Tisha B'Av? I mean, some people are so machmir, they won't work the whole year round. But if a person says, I will practice like a Talmid Chochom, I consider myself like a Talmid Chochom, Simon Tovkuf Nun Dalet, Sifkot Mem Dalet, a person is allowed to behave like a Talmid Chochom. It's not called Yoharot, it's respect for the day. There are some people who will fast if there's no rain. So that is a chumrah Is it called showing off? Simatovkov Ein Hesif Gimel. The truth is that one should start with the leaders of one's generation to practice such a thing, and then everybody follows. But if a person does it sincerely in his prayers for rain, and there was an announcement this week that people should start davening for rain in Eretz Yisrael, then that is not called showing off. What if a person says, I'm going to keep my tefillin on all day long? I'm going to practice the chumrah. Well, the problem with keeping tefillin all day long is guf noki, one should not pass wind and so on when one's wearing one's tefillin, so it's deplored. But is it called yohora? Well, the Siman Lamed Zayin says yes, it is. But there are some Talmid Chachomim who do it. So the Yishalas Shula Shevet Halevi asks this question in Chelek Tes Siman Yud Ches, and gives an interesting general principle about this yohara showing off. And he says it does not apply to people who are well-known Talmidei Chachomim, because they are setting an example, because they are role models, that we don't call them yohara if they are doing something like wearing tefillin during the day. But for us mere mortals, it's something which one should really refrain from. What if a person on Sukkot wants to walk around all day long with his lulav and esrog? He says it's my chavivas for the mitzvah. And in fact, if you look in the Rambam, he talks about certain people who walk around all day with their lulav and esrog in their hand. Tov reishon and beis motzim and sislov. If one walks with the lulav all day long, it is called yohara. But there were some famous rabbonim who were mezatzik to do it, so for them it was okay. Or if somebody is rogel b'she'er perishus, the Siman Reish Lamed Hei Tav Tes Ayin talks about people who are refraining from davening Maariv earlier and want to wait till it's later to do it by Nacht. The Gros says one should, and does one do it? So a person who is rogel b'she'er perishus, a person who practices perishus and is level-headed and is not a show-off, it's okay to do such a thing. What about standing up for the Shema? It's not a din that you stand up for the Shema. So a person is called Yohara, a show-off. Simon Samach Gimel. Okay, a person feels sincere about it. There are other people standing. Maybe it's not being perceived like showing off. What about standing the whole day of Yom Kippur? There are some people who feel that they should stand the whole day of Yom Kippur. It's written that it's not called Yohara, but according to the Prima Godim, it is. He says a person who stands all day Yom Kippur is making a show of himself, and it is not a worthy thing to do. What about women who want to wear a tallis? That's become a hot one lately. If women want to wear a tallis in public, is that called showing off or not? After all, tzitzis is a mitzvah sasatius mangaroma, which women do not have to keep, but women do keep mitzvah sasatius mangaroma. So there are mitzvahs which, apart from, well, they have to keep their Chanukah and Megillah, but they don't have to keep certain other mitzvah sasatius mangaroma, like sukkah. They accept upon themselves shofar. And there are others which they do, and they say the bracha on them, Kaminag Ashkenazim. So does it really matter if a woman wears a tallis? So Siman Yud Zayin Sif Beis says it is yohara. It is called showing off. So why is that different to other mitzvahs which women do keep on mitzvah stations among Garomot? So the truth is that Me'ikar Din, a man hasn't even got to wear a tallis. A man wears a tallis, it's a glorification when one is davening, and we wear a four-cornered garment, so we put tzitzis on it. But it's a mitzvah kiyumis to wear a tallis, because Me'ikar Din, min haTorah, you don't have to wear it. It's not a chiyah which says thou shalt wear a tallis. Yes?
Surely everything is competitive. I mean, just everybody doing something, it can't be different.
Yeah, like Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. Yeah, if you go into Reb Chuna's shul, you'll see a lot of people putting on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. So that's not called showing off. But I don't think anyone wears it in North Hendon. Oh, there are. Pardon? Yes. Yeah, even the Shulchan Aruch himself is critical about Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. And yet, you go into many shtibles and everybody's wearing it. No problem.
And then you've got no problem.
And then you've got no problem.
With all these other things. For example, if you stand up for the young people, there's no issue there.
Yeah, if everybody does it, yeah. There's the question of standing up for Kriyas HaTorah. You know, one doesn't have to. Is one Yehorah? But Reb Moshe Feinstein seems to indicate that there may be a Yahorai if one is standing for the Kriyat HaTorah, if you're the only one. But if there are lots of people doing so, then obviously it's not a problem. There are little things. The Beis Yosef in Hilchos Tzitzis talks about holding the Tzitzis during the Shema, which he thinks is a Yahorai. The Avodrom writes, the Avodrom suggests that holding the Tzitzis in the Shema is Yahorai, but more or less everybody does it. So if everybody's doing it, then it's not a problem. And the Avodrom makes the principle, though. He says, it's something which is not mechuyev to do, and which you're doing in public, is generally called a Yahora, is called showing off, and one should refrain from it. There's an interesting halacha in Siman Ayin Sif Gimel about the chosan on his wedding night, whether he should say Kriyas Shema. So the halacha is that the chosan is so busy in his mind with what's going on, and he's very nervous, so he's not going to be able to concentrate properly when he says his Shema. So the ikar halacha is he hasn't got to say Kriyas Shema on his wedding night. However, since nowadays we don't have the right kavona in any case, because not that you're texting on your mobile phone, Chas v'Shalom, but we say that generally nowadays we don't have the kavona like the sages of old, so we say the chosan should still say Shema on his wedding night. So what if the chosan says, oh well, I have a proper kavona, therefore I won't say Shema on my wedding night? He is called a show-off, a yoharoff. So you might say, well, you can't even tell whether he's saying Shema or not. You know, when you say Shema, it's something quite private. It's not even public. Nevertheless, that chosan is called a show-off if he says, well, I have kavana, therefore I won't say the Shema. There's also an interesting idea about when one goes into the toilet. There is a halacha in Brochas Daf Samach about saying a certain statement you say to the angels. You're saying to the angels who are always accompanying you, please excuse me, I'm leaving you for the moment, but I'll be back soon. I can't bring you into where I'm going. So in Siman Gimel, Sif Gimel, it says we don't do that nowadays. We're not like the Yirei Shemaim of old who say such things, because you're assuming that these angels are always accompanying you. You know, come on. Nowadays, we should not assume that we're having such red carpet treatment that we're being constantly accompanied by these angels. So if you say this nowadays, you're called a show-off. So you might say to me, ah, on Friday night, don't we say Shalom Aleichem, Malachei Hashoris, Malachei Elyon, because two angels accompany you from shul on Friday night, and when you get home and the table is laid and everything looks nice, they give you a bracha, and so you're saying Shalom Aleichem, Malachei Hashoris. So they're the angels accompanying you, and you're assuming very much that they've accompanied you. So the Tzitz Eliezer writes in Tesvav Yudalad, he says, no, there are different kinds of Malachim. On Friday night, those are the angels of Eidus, of testimony. Now they are there just simply to testify that you're doing what you should be doing. They're not the ones who are guarding you the whole time like bodyguards. So therefore it's not Yoharot to say Shalom Aleichem, Malachei Hashoris. What if a person says, I'm not going to the doctor, Hashem will look after me, Hashem is my doctor, and what's the din? The big Chayosef writes in Siman Shin Lamed Vav Sif Beis that such a person is a Yoharoi, he's a show-off, he's making a chumrah which is totally out of order. If you're not well, you see a doctor. If you don't believe in orthodox medicine, then go and see alternative medicine. But you are being an absolute Yoharoi if you decide not to go and get medical treatment. What if a person says, I want to wear my talis cotton over my shirt, and everybody can then see it, and I can see it, and it will be good for me, it keeps me in mind that I reminded to do all the mitzvahs. You know, it says in the Shema that you should see the tzitzis or isem also, although the drosha there is that's the mitzvah of wearing them in daytime. That's what a isem also is telling you. So therefore, you shouldn't wear your talis cotton over your shirt. The Tzitz Eliezer writes in Chelek Tes Siman Gimel that it is showing off. Ah, you say, I go to Stamford Hill and everybody's wearing a talis cotton over their shirt. Fine, well, everybody's doing it, so that's not Yahorai. But if the custom of the place is not to do it, says Amari Brunner, Simon Tadivov, you don't wear your talis cotton over your shirt. It's a chumrah which makes you look like a show-off.
What about, for example, hanging out
What about the tzitzis hanging out? The Mishnah Berurah makes a big emphasis about tzitzis being seen because it reminds you of your mitzvah. But if,
how can you see it?
If, well, if
a,
I remember, sitting in yeshiva. I remember in yeshiva there was one of the rabbonim who was going through this Mishnah Berurah saying how important it is to wear your tzitzis out, and we were looking at him aghast because he wasn't wearing his tzitzis out, and he even knew what our question was before we asked it, because we were just going, huh, you know. And he says, I understand why you're looking at me like this. He says, because if you look at the Sitz Eliezer Chelek Chasim and Ches, he says that if a person feels that it will give him gaiva by wearing his tzitzis out, then he's better off not wearing them out. Or if he's going to cause a chilul Hashem by pushing in a bus queue, he should not be wearing his tzitzis out. So there's a bit of common sense there. People who wear their tzitzis out, the best balance is perhaps if you have them out, they tuck them into your trouser pocket. So they're not seen by others, but they'll be seen and felt by yourself. There's a balance idea there. But if you do have your tzitzis flying down to your knees in an area where nobody does it, yes, it would probably be a yoharot. But we've got to remember that Mishnah Berurah does emphasize the importance of such a custom. The Kli Yochar in Parshas Truma talks about the Oron and the measurements. And if you look at the measurements in Parshas Truma of the Oron, they're all in half measurements. Amar v'chetzi, you know, 1.5 here or 2.5 there. That it's all in halves, and this is all to teach us Anova. The Oron represents Torah. We stand for Torah, but we must understand that we're never complete. And if we practice like show-offs, then we will not be achieving the ideal. And in fact, there is a din that you should not learn in the marketplace. Rebbe made a gezeirah that if you go into the marketplace where people mingling around doing your shopping, and you get out your gemara and start learning, you're glorifying yourself in public. And that is a yohara. You say, I'm learning Torah, I can't do it anywhere else. You've got to do it then discreetly. You don't show everybody, see everybody, I'm learning Torah every spare minute.
So what about the, you see rabbanim sitting at weddings with their gemara?
Well, to that I would have to say that so many people seem to do it that maybe it's okay. No, the person who is making a wedding today doesn't think a lot of time is wasted at weddings. But I think if you sit at the wedding with some notes of something, it's probably not so showy. But if you have a huge Gemara, I think it is probably showing off. But that's just a personal opinion. We must understand the words of Rav Dessler, Michtav Melio, Chelek Beis, who says, Yoro isn't nearly what other people are necessarily thinking of you. It's how it affects your own personality. That it doesn't really matter what other people are thinking of you, but when you are doing such things, you are creating for yourself a kind of personality which is wrong. Because you're getting your priorities wrong. You've got to understand that your own humility depends on the way you practice chumras and or kulas. Gemara in Sukkah, Chosvav, Omud Beis, talks about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabban Gamliel, who were being offered some snacks, and they said, Helum la Sukkah, bring them up to the Sukkah. They often had Sukkahs on their roofs, so they would say, bring it up to the Sukkah. They didn't want to have achilas arai, a snack outside the Sukkah. Now the Shulchan Aruch makes it very clear that you are allowed to have a snack outside the Sukkah. When we say a snack, it's not mazonos, it's a drink, maybe some fruit, maybe even a piece of fish, but, you know, once you have a meal, you should sit in the sukkah. Now, Rav Tzadok there says he ate outside the sukkah. So the Gemara asks on this, maybe there was a bit of missing text, but then the Gemara says, Habol hachmir al atzmo machmir. If a person wants to be strict and only eat inside the sukkah and have even a cup of water inside the sukkah, that's fine. A person is allowed to be machmir. and it is not called showing off. So why is it that we've given you numerous examples where a Chumrah is called showing off, and here we have a Gemara which says that you're not called a show off if you sit in the sukkah and have just a drink? Where do we find something to reconcile this? So the Marat Chius makes an interesting comment on this Gemara in Sukkah Chavlov. He says, if you're sitting in the sukkah and you're having a drink, if other people see you, they don't know you're just having a drink. You might be there later on to have a full meal. You might be there to have something vikavius. People don't know. So therefore, you're not being perceived as a show-off. Unless you say loudly to the whole crowd, oh, I'm only going to have a drink inside the sukkah, I'm going in the sukkah, that's showing off. But if you just happen to go inside the sukkah, you might be having a piece of cake as well. Therefore, you're having a mezonos. Therefore, you're going to make a proper leche basukkah. So therefore, Maratz here says that if you're doing something where you're not being perceived like a show-off, even though it is a chumrah and it's not a necessary chumrah, that's okay. Another interesting question comes up in the Igros Moshe, where Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked the question in Yeridei Chelek Aleph Simon Samach Beis, and he was asked there about blended whiskies. Now, blended whiskies do not contain wine. They contain a mixture of whiskies and maybe one or two sweeteners and a couple of hidden ingredients, but the halacha is you're allowed to drink blended whiskey. And he is asked about this. He said, it's perfectly all right, even though I might have a preference for single malt whiskey, and no doubt there are lots of people here who like single malt whiskey. There is no kashrus problem, he says, with blended whiskey. But he says some very interesting words. Vaf ani, regarding myself, shani matir, I do allow such drinks. Nizrani ba'atmi lishtos blender rak b'chabura. I will only drink such things when I'm in public, I go to Kiddush, I'm off at the L'chaim. So in order not to look like a show-off, I will drink it. But to be honest, when I'm at home, I don't drink blended whiskies. And I want to give a bracha to the Baal Simcha, and I want to take part. And I feel it's not right that I say no thank you to a blended whiskey. It's looking like a show-off. Very interesting principle which comes out from Reb Moshe. So there you get another idea coming out from Reb Moshe. He doesn't want to cut himself off from people socially, where he wants to practice a chumrah. He wants to practice a chumrah, he does it privately inside his house. And there's another interesting thing.
Is it a chumrah kashrus or a chumrah because single malt whiskey is more...
It's a chumrah on kashrus. Because you don't always know precisely about every tiny ingredient what they put in. Although, if you go into Wikipedia on blended whiskies, it talks about different whiskies being put together. But some people are worried that the whiskey might have been prepared in a vat where there was wine. It's not a din, but there is a chumrah here. You can now get whiskies with a hechsher. So, very nice. But he was of the attitude that you are allowed to drink blended whiskey mitzad kashrus. Yeah, if you want to drink only single malt whiskey because it's a better whiskey, tava olof brocha. Once I was making a simcha and I was pouring whiskey, and the fellow said, I'm sorry, I don't drink whiskey from a plastic cup. He would only drink from glass. He claimed it tasted different. Well, I'm maybe in your head. But when we're talking about mixing socially, there is another idea here. We have to remember that the children of Shammai married the children of Hillel. Although Shammai and Hillel argued with each other, it was the Shem Shemaim, they had different views about the halacha, but their children married each other. They were not broigers with each other. So we have to understand that when we are mixing with other kinds of Jews, whether they're Hasidim from Stamford Hill, modern Orthodox, this kind of from, that kind of from, Litvish, Hasidish, Yekish, if as long as we're all keeping Shabbos and eating kosher food, and we're not compromising on Torah min Hashamayim, we should be able to mix with each other and respect each other. Very important idea that the children of Shammai married the children of Hillel. Rav Avadi Yosef, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, writes about if a person was nichshal in something, where a person slipped up on a halacha and he did an aveira, then it's perfectly right for him to take upon himself chumras to protect himself in the future from doing that aveira again. It makes sense. And the typical example of this is taken from the Maharam Rosenberg. The Maharam Rosenberg, he was a Rebbe of the Rosh. And he is quoted by the Shach in Yeridel Pei Tes Yud Zayin in Hilchos Basa B'Cholov, where he had the practice to eat meat straight after cheese. Me'ikah din, after milchiks, you're allowed to have meat if you rinse your mouth out. It's perfectly allowed. But many practice the chumrah, and it's become a very widespread chumrah, particularly after cheese, not to have meat for 3 hours or 6 hours. He had this thing that he could eat meat after cheese, but he once had some meat to eat, and after he ate it, he realized that there was a piece of cheese stuck between his teeth. So he took upon himself this chumrah not to have for 6 hours any meat after cheese. But it's not a din. One doesn't have to do it, but there are some different opinions there in Yeridel Siman Pei Tes if you look in the Mefarshim. I heard, for example, that there was a certain Rav in Gateshead who once missed mincha. He forgot. It's very easy to forget on these short days now in the winter. And as a result of having forgotten mincha, he took it upon himself to daven mincha every day, be yechidus, as soon as it became mincha gedola. As soon as it became 12:30, he did not wait for the minyan at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, he davened mincha straight away. Ah, you might say, isn't he missing tefillah b'tzibur? Surely it's better to wait to daven with a minyan. Well, his feeling was, it's better to daven mincha without the minyan than to forget and not say mincha at all, and he felt that he was in danger of forgetting. So we've seen here a number of issues which come from balance. And we've gone through a number of principles of Chumrah and Kula. We started off in our first year how Rabbeinu Yonah praised people for making a siog latorah, for having Chumrah. A Chumrah can reach Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person can feel that his Yiddishkeit is at a higher spiritual level if he takes upon himself Chumrah. And these can be very, very praiseworthy. But it's got to be done with common sense. Where necessary, it should be done privately. We said it may not be done at the expense of another mitzvah. We said a chumrah may not be done at the expense of another person. Remember the guy who blocked me in the car park because he felt it's important to stay for the Mishnayos shir. So you don't do it at the expense of another person. We said that one may not confuse a chumrah with a din, which we learnt out from Chava with the forbidden fruit, because a person then who practices chumrah and doesn't know what the din is can end up breaking the din. We said in the same spirit with Chava, you have to know yourself. You have to know your shoe size, as it were. Don't do tikkun chatzos if you're saying Lashon Hara all day. Know what your mindset is. And if your father did keep 24 hours before having milk, that doesn't mean you have to do the same. That's not to confuse with minhag, by the way. If you have a minhag handed down to you, you should respect that minhag, unless you do Hataras Nadorim. Minhag is not exactly the same thing as chumrah. And we stressed at length the idea of not being a show-off when you do a chumrah. It's very easy to get haughty and proud when you're doing something which other people don't do. There's no merit in saying I'm putting a mezuzah on my car when nobody else does. And then another principle, which we did mention in passing in our first year, is don't insult anybody. It's very easy to insult the Rav. If you are standing for Kriyas HaTorah and everybody else is sitting, including the Rav, then you are insulting the Rav. If you are sitting at a table at a wedding and you are not going to eat the food there because you don't trust the kashrus, and the Rav who gives it the hesher is eating that food and he's sitting at your table, there's no bigger chutzpah than that. You mustn't do things like that. You're better off not going to the wedding at all. But that is an insult. All right, if you don't want to eat meat because you're a vegetarian and so on, but then you might as well make a comment to the Rav saying, listen, it's not your hesher I'm worried about. It's just that my doctor told me or whatever. You know, put things in perspective. Or even eat that meat for once. You know, if you don't want to offend I know a certain person who's vegetarian, but he was served as a guest some chicken soup, and he felt that if he would not have it, he would offend the hostess, so he ate the chicken soup. All right, it wasn't the end of the world. Put things in perspective. Use your common sense. Don't practice these chumras where it might be at somebody else's expense or it might hurt somebody else's feelings. Keep it private, use your common sense, and that way we can all achieve better dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu and good relationships. Bein Adam L'Chavero. Thank you very much. Thank you.